I have the great privilege to be talking with Mr. Osmo Venska. He is music director of the Minnesota Orchestra, also music director of the Seoul Philharmonic, and you are in Seoul, Korea right now as we speak, so there's a big time difference between us. But let me ask you, first of all, what can I call you? Because I've heard you don't like maestro. Can I just call you?
You can call me Osmo.
I can call you Osmo. Okay.
Yeah.
I have the official permission from you to do that. I appreciate it.
Yes. no problem.
What's the situation in South Korea right now with the pandemic? I mean, they were really on top of it, right?
Yeah. They started very, very fast, and they have been very strict with that. For example, right now I am in quarantine. I'm in 2 weeks quarantine, and means that I'm here with my wife. We are not allowed to go out from the apartment, and we have the app on our phone, which is locating us, and they check our temperature 3 times per day. They call us once, and if our phone is too long time on the same table without moving, then they ask us to confirm our location. Otherwise, some health officers or police could come to this place. And they are very strict with that. And that's why, one of the reasons why they are handling it so well. On the other hand, all, let's say, Korea, China, Japan, they are used to use masks. Every time I have been in these countries before the pandemic, you can always see people with the masks. So okay. I think that's one of those things. And I think people are understanding the meaning of discipline. I think the feeling is there are not so many individual freedom questions than in some country where you are right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we could talk about this quite a bit, but I want to focus, of course, on the reason that you're here is to talk about this new recording of Mahler's Symphony No. 7 from the Minnesota Orchestra. It just came out recently. It's on the Beast record label. And so let's talk about Mahler. This is in your cycle of Mahler recordings. This is the sixth one you've done so far out of 10, I think.
I think we have three. It might be the seven. We have three more. We have to do number 9, number 8, and number 3. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. Saving number 3 for last. Yeah.
Well, I think that maybe the number 8 is going to be the last one. And that goes back to the pandemic. When is a time when we can put hundreds of singers on stage with the orchestra? So I don't want to think about that right now too much.
Well, let's talk about Mahler's Symphony No. 7. This is a symphony that is not as well known as the others. I don't want to say not as popular, because it's a fantastic symphony. In fact, one of my favorites, because it has this great kind of fantasy adventure soundtrack thing going on throughout the whole symphony. What do you love about this symphony? What do you want listeners to know about Mahler 7?
I think that practically speaking, Mahler wrote always the same music, if you want to understand what I mean. It's always about human beings, maybe Mahler himself, and all the things which we have here, we have to handle. We have hope. We are struggling. We have people who don't like us. In Mahler's case, he thought that there are a lot of people who are against him, and it's, I think that it's those kind of emotional things which are happening. Sometimes there are rainy days, and sometimes there are some hope, but in any case, really, really emotional music, and extremely well written. So all those layers of different emotions, desperations, sometimes hope, they are very, very much coming out from the music. And that is not only, as I said, the seventh, but that is Mahler, which he's, I think that he's giving us maybe one of the largest emotional scale compared to any composer.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about your working relationship with the Minnesota Orchestra and how you bring this music to the stage and to the recording itself.
I think it's right to say that I'm a conductor who is always demanding a lot of things for the orchestra, and it means that any symphony of Mahler is like a big job to do, because so many things, so many layers, things are happening at the same time. So totally like different elements are working. One is living its own life. The other one is living own life. Maybe there's a third and fourth one. And it's finally when things are in a place, when people are really playing as written, as the score is written, and also one huge thing with Mahler's music is all the dynamics, all the. There are always people who are playing very loud the same thing as some other group is playing the softest possible, and then he fixes that again and again. Needs a lot of discipline from the orchestra to trust the music and to play as it's written. And I believe that as Mahler was not only a composer, but he was one of the best conductor of his times. He knew from both sides. If he wrote something, I think that as a conductor myself, I have to believe what he wrote. And if we can trust do what he wrote, all those million changings of details, then the music is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, well, it sounds fantastic. Let me say, one of the things I notice about the Minnesota Orchestra is the cleanliness to the sound, the absolute purity that I hear in all of these movements in the symphony. So my compliments to you and to the symphony, into the orchestra as well. Tell us a little bit about your transition from a clarinetist to a conductor. I know you're still playing clarinet, right?
Yeah.
But when did you get the conducting bug?
I have had only two dreams in my whole life. I was 9 years old when I got a little violin and never liked it. I had it like 1 year, didn't want to practice. And it sounded awful, obviously. And then a year later, I got the clarinet. There was one church in Finland, a place called Kotka. They started a new wind band, and someone gave me the clarinet. My brother got the trumpet, and so I never planned that. I just got an instrument, and immediately I knew that this instrument is something I really would like to play. So I was around 10 years old then. Maybe 1 or 2 years later, my parents bought the first stereo system to our home. So vinyl LP recordings, and maybe we had first like three LPs. One of them was Brahms' Second Symphony, one of the first recordings from the Avery Fisher Hall at that time. Leonard Bernstein, New York Philharmonic, young Leonard Bernstein. And I just loved that recording. I don't know how many hundreds of times I listened to it. And finally, I had a pencil on my hand, and I was conducting. And then I thought that that well, the thing which I didn't tell you with the clarinet was that I just liked the instrument so much. I thought that if there is any chance to be good enough so that I could be a member of a professional orchestra and play the clarinet, that would be great. Would be great. And then the same thing with this Brahms Bernstein recording. I thought that it might be great to be a clarinet player, but even greater if I can stand in front of the orchestra and conduct them. But I know that it's going to be really demanding, and I can't be sure if I can ever do it. But so I was 18 years old when I got my principal clarinet job in Turku Philharmonic in Finland, and then later started to conduct more and more, and then finally now I can say that I might be I'm the happy person. Two dreams, they have come true.
That's wonderful. I used to play the clarinet myself, but probably not as good as you. So,
don't be sure.
but you're still playing occasionally, right?
Yes, there was a time in my life when I just thought that I am done with the clarinet, and I played less and less and less, and then finally put it away. Actually, for 3 years, it was 2001, maybe. I thought that I don't want to touch the instrument because it needs. If I don't practice it, it doesn't work. And then, what happened during those 3 years that I was feeling not so good about the idea that I cannot explain my any musical thoughts. I'm really bad pianist. This is no way. I can use the piano only for studying purposes, and I need 1 minute to change the chord. So I just thought that if someone is asking me to come to the school speaking about the music, and I always need someone else to play there, something is wrong. What kind of musician I am going to be that way? And so I studied. I started to play again, and I just decided that if I start to play again, I have to practice, if not more than 15 minutes, but every day, because it's too complicated otherwise. And very little I knew at that time how difficult it's going to be. I think that it's like a sportman would like to get back the muscles which he or she has already lost. And when we get older and we try to get back those muscles, it's really, really difficult. You play 10 minutes too long, and then all the muscles are so much in pain that you cannot play next day at all. So I'm not exaggerating when I say that it took like 4 or 5 years before I could do anything with the instrument, but it means very much for me. It's a different kind of music making, and we clarinet players, we are lucky if we think about the chamber music repertoire we have. You don't need to get better music than Mozart clarinet quintet or Brahms quintet and hundreds of other pieces. So it's very important, and right now I'm doing quite a lot of duos with my wife Erin, who is a concertmaster of Minnesota Orchestra. So that's a great but very demanding challenge to play one of the top violinists in the whole world, and I try not to embarrass her too much. And another thing which comes out from that idea is that we know that there are not so many duos for clarinet and violin. So we are right now collecting material for this the Swedish company has promised to do a CD with us, and we have commissioned 5, 6 duos. I have written one, and this is a project which is going on, and it means that I have to practice my clarinet to keep myself that we can continue.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I look forward to that recording. I want to thank you for your time, Osmo Venska, who is music director of the Minnesota Orchestra. This beautiful new recording, and we look forward to more from you and the Minnesota Orchestra. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you so much.